live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right, 2 minutes and 35 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of January, in the year of our Lord, 2004, in the city of tomorrow, Portland, Oregon.
Say it.
In the city of Cosmopolis. All right. I gotta go to Cosmopolis. I'm gonna get me a shirt, too. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna get me a big thing. It's just, you know, my, like, I went to Cosmopolis and all I got was...
You get a snow globe.
Yeah. What would a Cosmopolis snow globe even have in it? Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios, Hot Talk tonight, Cave to Game, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon.
Maybe Jill will bring a snow globe from Egypt.
Well, because she's there for like 3 weeks or something. She's there forever. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Of course, a big story today. Michael Jackson, formally charged with 7 counts of child molestation, and he went there and he pled not guilty. And there's this huge swarm. It's just a zoo there. I mean, it's a circus, like nobody's business. So CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be with us later to weigh in on that. He'll have kind of the scoop on what's going on down there. Later on, TV critic Peter Carlin from The Oregonian going to be here as well. We've got all this email to get to, all this stuff we didn't get to yesterday. Plus your phone calls, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I guess one of the charges is officially this business of... Because I guess he was late getting to the courthouse, and then one of the charges is this business about getting a... I don't know, playing a child with a bottle of Night Train or something. So we'll get to that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom on Hot Talk Tonight, KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I've been trafficking with Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it, the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it, the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Marion County detectives looking at a missing persons report nationwide in their attempt to identify a decomposed body of a woman. She was found wrapped in plastic near the I-5 this week. If you lost a body wrapped in plastic, please call 503-540-8079. No questions asked. That's 503-540-8079.
Excellent.
Missing body wrapped in plastic department.
Another Luis Palau fan goes insane. What was that story you had earlier about the priest that was bonking all the women?
Just one. The Reverend Roy Tate has been found guilty of conduct unbecoming of a minister by a council of church elders, but he is not charged with the crime. The trial found Tate had sex with a troubled woman that he preached to.
See, it's got to be great to be a priest. You know what it is? Being a priest is like being one of those guys that, you know, one of those guys that sells, those like herbal guys that sell, what is this? Well, it's wheatgrass capsules or something. Well, I've got Well, I've got the scabies, the wheatgrass cap. You know, I've got the my hair has split ends. Wheatgrass cap. My head's come off. You know, wheatgrass capsules. Same thing with being a priest. You know, it's like, well, I'm depressed. You have to have sex with me. Okay. Well, I've
you'll feel better.
I'm an alcoholic. You'll need to have sex with me right now. So that's my future career.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Friday.
All right, we have extended coverage here. The pageantry of the Michael Jackson child molestation trial is underway, with hundreds outside the Santa Maria courthouse chanting, "Everybody loves Michael Jackson" in unison.
Some of us just love him in the biblical sense, I guess.
And for some unknown reason, then they started chanting, "USA, USA."
Ah, oh, this country's great. This country's an ever-unfolding cavalcade of amusement and whimsy, is what it is.
That a reporter describes the merrymaking.
Yeah, we do see him now.
Yeah, there
and
he is.
It's not Mary Poppins, yeah. And it's not the penguin from Batman. It does appear to be Michael Jackson with an umbrella for whatever reason, whether to cover his face or do whatever he wants to do. But Michael Jackson's been known to do unusual things before, and this is an unusual entrance to this courthouse for this arraignment.
On the way to the courthouse, Jackson told reporters no comment.
Not right now.
Hold it. Shut up. Right here.
Famous lawyer Chris Darden becomes giddy when describing the expressions of love.
And isn't it amazing?
Inside the courthouse, the judge scolds Michael Jackson for tardiness.
Hi, Wolf. Yes, Michael Jackson, first of all, got into some hot water with the judge. He was some 20 minutes late. It was supposed to start 8:30 our time. It started about 10 to 9. The judge reprimanded him, saying, "Mr. Jackson, you started off on the wrong foot with me." And then he gave him what he said was a polite warning that in the future he expected him to be in court on time, and did not take any no for an answer and wouldn't even listen to any explanations from his attorney, Mark Gergis.
So does this, do we know if he was there surrounded by all the Nation of Islam guys?
Yep, they were there, along with the cops. So about 200 or 300 people. Michael Jackson leaves the courtroom in a festive frenzy.
Applying a little bit of makeup to Michael Jackson, just a little bit of powder there, as he gets ready to run that gauntlet. It does appear that limousines have just moved a few feet.
I could see Jackson now.
Hey, does anybody know?
Sorry to interrupt you.
Does anybody know why the white armband?
I do not.
I believe that's a fashion statement, Miles, something you wouldn't be familiar with.
This whole, the whole world's turned into one big insane Queer Eye episode.
It's fun, isn't it? A breathless reporter tries to ask a question.
Mr. Jackson, how are you?
But he didn't succeed.
All right.
Michael Jackson then shocks the crowd by climbing onto the roof of an SUV with his bad arm. Whoops.
Just a week and a half or so ago, he went on 60 Minutes and said that he was, quote, manhandled so roughly that he can't raise his arms above a certain level. And there he used some brute strength to pull himself on top of that SUV and then wave to the crowd.
Yeah, this is all going to go badly.
It's
the beginning of a long, slow descent into imprisonment for Michael Jackson.
His legal team has asked if this grandstanding is proper behavior.
He is Michael Jackson. He is an entertainer. He is not by profession a defendant in a criminal case. There is no rule book for how a Michael Jackson entertainer performs. And these people came thousands of miles to see Michael Jackson, and I think spontaneously he wanted those not close enough to see him.
I wonder if he sings while he's molesting you, too. Do you suppose he twirls an umbrella around while he's spiking your drink with Rohypnol? I suppose you have a little soft shoe while he's rubbing your 7-year-old body down with canola oil.
Talking about how this is
come on. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny stuff. That's humor. That's the sort of wit and humor that you can expect from the Rick Emerson program. Right here. That's what we do on a daily basis. Better than anyone.
That's today's Jackson One.
Oh, with more to come, I'm sure.
Is hot.
Don't forget, coming up, I don't know, just 8 or 9 minutes, we've got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Rupp, who was at the arraignment today. He's going to give us the inside scoop on that.
Afghan state television has gone back on a decision to show females singing, saying the country is not yet ready for such a broadcast. A song by a popular artist, Selma, was shown on Monday the first time such images were broadcast since 1992, but the programming chief of state-run TV said current circumstances are not suitable to air women singing. The decision came after the Supreme Court complained to the government.
Imagine how depressing it must be to live in that country. Imagine just waking up there every day and realizing you live in a place where you can't even see a woman. And it's presumably not in a bikini, right? Just this is at all.
Right, she's singing.
Yeah, all right.
In this new Western-style democracy.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So that's that. A Monday night's broadcast was old footage of Selma singing a ballad about a refugee. She was wearing a headscarf instead of the all-enveloping burqa.
Woo! Take part of it off! Slowly, so I can see your forehead.
Show me a little ear.
Woo! Exactly. Hey, speaking of which, we should do it. You know, I want to. We were talking yesterday about this, the when I'm president or when I'm king or whatever. You know, we should do another segment just called Reasons Why Our Country is Better Than Your Country. Here's another one. So that's where? In Afghanistan?
Afghanistan, yeah.
God, what a, you know, people in Afghanistan would be better off killing themselves right now and just starting the karmic wheel over again. You know what it is? It's like you could pick. Look, of all the creatures in God's creation, you'd be better off coming back as a paramecium in the bottom of somebody's sock than being somebody living in Afghanistan. Living in Afghanistan is like living in a small satchel somewhere and having a guy open the bag every so often to poke you with sticks and then set your hair ablaze. You know what I mean? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so our country's better than yours. So you got this woman in Afghanistan who can't even go on television. Go on television, essentially still a burqa, not allowed to go on television because it'll ruffle too many feathers and make people too all horned up or whatever. And yet, we are proud to announce today that the Lingerie Bowl is coming back to television. The Lingerie Bowl, which had been canceled because Chrysler, is it Chrysler?
Yes, it is
Chrysler. Yeah, it's Dodge, I think, actually.
Does Dodge advertise with us?
They won't anymore.
All right, well, whoever it was, whatever the sponsor was, they had backed out. Whoever it was that was underwriting the Lingerie Bowl had backed out.
It's Kia. That would put us on the safe side.
They didn't want to have anything to do with women in bikinis pillow fighting for reasons that God only knows, for reasons that are unfathomable to anybody else. But I want to note that my boys, my friends, my pals, mi guardos es camino, have partypoker.com, have stepped up to underwrite the Lingerie Bowl. So the Lingerie Bowl will be broadcast the same day as the Super Bowl, brought to you by PartyPoker.com. So we want to thank Ian tipped me off to that today. So we want to thank those guys for stepping in and keeping America smutty.
I'm a big fan of PartyPoker.com.
I'm a big fan of women
money last night.
That are like in lingerie, sort of wrestling and being sponsored by an online poker company, because that's everything. That's all. I mean, if they were just eating deep-fried corn dogs while they did it, it would be everything that I love about this country. So the next time somebody, you know, tries to get on America, somebody... Henry was making a good point this morning that liberals over the last 10 years have just sort of ceded patriotism to conservatives. Like, it's somehow this idea that being patriotic is solely a conservative idea. You know, that the liberals don't have any sort of a... You know, liberals just don't have any hold on it anymore. So I'm telling you, the next time somebody starts dogging America, somebody starts getting down to the United States, you just mention a few little words to them. Poker, partypoker.com, sponsoring the Lingerie Bowl, you know? No argument with that.
I thought Party Poker was a Canadian company, though.
Nah, well, you know, but all their business comes from here.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't know anything about that because it's illegal to gamble online through a Canadian. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. Stay there. Don't go anywhere.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, we'd like to thank the Oregonian and Holly Johnson, by the way. Today's A&E, page 7. The five questions, the plugged-in section of today's A&E. There's a little piece about the Bigger Than Jesus, which premieres tonight at the Imago Theater. By the way, online tickets for tonight and tomorrow are sold out. There's still tickets at the door, though. So if you show up tonight, doors open at 6:30, shows at 7. There are tickets, $10 at the door. First 20 people in the door tonight only get a commemorative CD of the first performance that we did back at the Clinton Street. So we got those all limited edition. You can sell those on eBay someday for 4 cents when you're about ready to. I do want to note, but there's this one, the question number four, which she asked me, and she said, "Are you now or have you ever?" This is Holly Johnson from the Oregonian when she's interviewing me. She says, "Are you now or have you ever been a rock and roll performer in real life?" And I was talking about the Tim Riley factor, you know, here. And except it, and I don't know if this is my mistake or the Oregonian's mistake or some print lackey or somewhere, but it ends up saying the Time Riley factor. Which I guess is when Morris Day joins us. It's Morris Day and the Time Riley factor. So anyway, so we want to, but anyway, all kidding aside, we want to thank Holly Johnson and the Oregonian. So that's on page 7 today's A&E. There you go. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up to talk to us about the Michael Jackson implosion that's happening as we speak in Los Angeles. This, however, is your friend and mine, Tim Riley.
Interoffice memorandum. It says here, this is from Bonnie. Okay, boys and girls, if you smoke or do other things, these are the rules. Number one, put your butts in the ashtray that's 6 inches from your smoke-ridden body. And number two, this one is really important. This is interoffice memorandum. If you use a condom, please find another place other than the front door to discard it.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. What are you going to read that for? I don't want to hear that. That's
you can tell we're working here with music stations.
It's just... That's a thing I don't need to... okay.
There it is. I didn't make it up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm just going to put that over here and pretend that we didn't see that. That's a thing I don't need to know about.
All right. Just so everybody knows.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Some other things to talk about. A federal contractor must pay for an artificial hip for an employee battered in a bar bet gone bad because it dispatched him to a place where he had to make his own fun. The remote Pacific island used as the U.S. chemical and nuclear arms dump. The San Francisco-based court backed decisions by an administrative board to give disability benefits to this fellow who required hip surgery after crashing to the floor of a social club on the island after he bet soldiers $100 that one of them could not high kick over his head without touching him. He won the bet but got kicked to the floor. We agree that under these circumstances, horseplay of that type that occurred is a foreseeable incident of one's employment on this island.
I didn't think anybody said horseplay anymore. Then horseplay was like grab ass and roughhousing. It's one of those things that only your grandfather said. And I thought bar bets always had to do with some sort of a drinking, some sort of foul. Whatever happened to drinking a spittoon as part of a bar bet? That's what I thought they. You know what I'm talking about?
I've never heard of that as a bar bet. I've been in bars with spittoons and never heard of that.
Do they still have spittoons in bars? Yeah, that's how you know when you're. That's how you know you're starting at the very bottom of the rung. By the way, it's like being the corner man in boxing. You know, what's your job? Well, there's gonna be a bucket full of spit when Rock spits. I need you to go dump that out. Spittoons. That's you want to know what the lowest, most hideous form of entry level job there is? Spittoon emptier. Now, my grandma was a barmaid for a long time because. You know, you got to pay for your false teeth and beer somehow. And so she was like a barmaid at this place in Markham, and there was always bets going on about spittoons. And you don't want to know. It's the lunchtime hour. Well, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, my friend?
I am driving from Santa Maria back to L.A.
So how long you drove all the way out there? They put you in like a... You know, like a Silver Cloud Inn or something for the night. And then you were, how long were you actually reporting today?
Since about 4 a.m.
All right, so you actually had a full day. It wasn't like some 12-minute story you had to go cover or something.
No, I was working since 4. The arraignment itself took 5 minutes. Well, it took a little longer than that. As far as Michael Jackson's part goes, that just took a few seconds, a few minutes, and then there were lots of motions and some housekeeping, so to speak, from the court to do.
So they were talking about Jackson today, and apparently he's just gone wacky on us. Because I guess at one point he hauled himself up on top of an SUV.
Well, I don't know if I never saw him on top of an SUV. He was inside one. It was mobbed by the crowd as he was leaving. But inside the courtroom, he showed up 15 minutes late, and Judge Melville, who's hearing this particular thing, he's he's really known for his promptness. So the first thing he does is tell Michael Jackson, "Hey, you're starting off on the wrong foot, pal." That's exactly his words.
Well, yeah, because it's, I mean, because he's had like 3 months to get ready for this, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he tells the defense, Garagos, that he cannot add that other attorney, Benjamin Brofman, right now. He brought Brofman into the thing. You can't add him now. You know, I mean, it was pretty theatrical for a few minutes there. Then Jackson pleads not guilty, and it was over.
All right, so they ended up charging him with what, 7 counts?
Seven counts of lewd and lascivious act on a child under 14, and 2 counts of administering an intoxicating agent to a child.
And do we know, do we think that's wine or whatever? Do we know what that is?
Yeah, we hear wine and pills. I've gotten wine confirmed, but pills I have not yet.
All right, okay. And so now the next step is what? What happens now?
Well, it's supposed to be a preliminary hearing within 10 days, but Jackson has waived that right. So now, and then it's a 30-day out. So what happens is February 13th, which is a Friday, there will be
Excellent.
A date to set a preliminary hearing date. So
right.
The next court date, Jackson probably won't even show up for, just his lawyers will be there to set a preliminary.
So was it just a zoo down there? Was it just chaos?
Man, I've never seen this before. I covered the O.J. trial, and his arraignment was nothing like this. On one side of the walkway to the courthouse was an 8-foot fence behind which were just rows of people just clamoring to try and get a look at this kid. And then on the other side, barricades with hundreds of media behind that. And when Jackson left, he took his sweet-natured time under an umbrella, just touching and throwing, blowing kisses to all these fans that are there, and it took forever for him to leave. And then once he got in his vehicle, it was just mobbed on the street. It was a mess. I was in fear for my life, sir.
So you think it's bigger than OJ, you know, as far as the trial goes?
As far as the support that, as far as the number of fans that have come out, yeah. I've never seen anything like this. This whole thing was different. I mean, they confiscated our cell phones and pagers, and even the folks in the overflow room weren't allowed to get up and leave when they wanted to. That didn't affect the court at all. It was very strange, and we were all pretty much huddled in one area, and then we weren't allowed to leave until he was X amount of yards away. It was very strange.
And so, because they're not doing any, they've already said they're not going to televise the trial or anything like that. So when the trial comes, how do they figure out who gets, what reporters get to sit in the courtroom and who doesn't?
Well, I think I think it's first come, first serve. Those who apply online first get first. So there are 60, there's 120 seats inside the courtroom, half of which will be media, half of which will be non-media, I guess. In the courtroom, by the way, today was Joe Jackson and Michael Jackson's dad and his mom, and Janet Jackson was in there too, and some other assorted Jacksons, faces of whom I don't recognize. I was looking for Tito. He wasn't there, for heaven's sake. But and then those who apply online will get in first. I think I'm going to opt for the overflow room. I don't want to sit in that courtroom quiet like that for an entire day. I think I want to be able to stretch and get up and walk around.
I was going to say, I'm people who knows people. You want me to grease a few wheels down there? You just say the word, my friend.
You know a guy.
All right, there you go. Well, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week more about this, undoubtedly. There's a CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK newsroom.
Maybe they have a cry room like they have at the theater if you want to make noise there.
Or like in the Catholic Church. You know what Catholic churches don't have enough of anymore? Catholic churches, a lot of them have those little soundproof crying rooms.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because Catholics are always, you know, Catholics are just lousy with children. Catholics are like, you know, it's
they
like
have too many.
It's like peanuts in a payday bar. You know, they're just everywhere. You know, the Catholic school that I went to, the church had this, like, little soundproof room where it's like if your child was yammering away and interrupting your understanding of the miracle of Jesus. You know, and the transubstantiation. You know, you could, they go in there and you take your kids in there. What was I saying? There's something, blah, blah, blah. OJ. Well, because Sarah, how much of you, OJ, do you remember?
Oh, I remember a lot of it. We actually watched The Verdict in my psychology class in ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
Yeah.
God damn, I'm old. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, to live through the trial of the century is pretty amazing. But then to do it twice in a row within 2 years... I mean, it's even more amazing because I remember watching the OJ thing, you know, people, we've sort of forgotten, you know, because coming up this June is the 10-year anniversary of the Bronco Chase. It's this June that the Bronco Chase is 10 years old because it happened in June of 94. And I'll tell you what, you go to anybody in America right now and they can tell you several things. They can tell you where they were when the Bronco Chase happened. And of course, they can tell you where they were when the verdict happened. But I remember all of that stuff. And, you know, and everybody was saying at the time that there was just no way you could ever have a trial that was bigger than this. And, I mean, it was just every single facet of American life was sort of laid bare in that trial. And do you remember watching the... I mean, I know it may seem premature to sit and get nostalgic about the O.J. trial, but, I mean, do you remember how, like, it just got weirder and weirder, and there was just one layer of surrealism after another? Because there was Cato Kalin, and that, I mean, that guy is like a whole freak show unto himself. And then I remember there was, like, 3 days where they spent discussing how long it took ice cream to melt in the Los Angeles air, because they'd gone out for ice cream and they'd set it down and they'd found some ice cream sitting in a dish later, and they were using that to track how long OJ had been home or something. But then there was this whole debate about it was cookie dough ice cream, and so it appeared that it hadn't melted when it really had. I mean, I remember just sitting there watching the television just thinking, our goddamn country has lost our friggin' minds. And then, God, and then, Jesus, and then friggin' Mark Furman gets on the stand, and that whole disaster just explodes about whether he's ever used the soap. And it's weird to think that up until 10 years ago, we didn't have the phrase N-word, that's a thing created by the O.J. trial. That's a phrase that never existed until O.J. killed, until someone killed, what's his name?
Ron Goldman.
The cocaine-playing tennis coach, Ron Goldman. Who was, I'm sure, going to contribute some great things to society. I'm sure if he'd lived, he'd be curing cancer right now. Anyway, but I mean, but so to live through that trial of the century just once, and then, Christ, man, not even 10 years later to have it again. I'm sad they're not going to be. I have two parts of me. Part of me thinks it's proper that they don't televise the trial, because we all know that just contributed to this huge, gigantic, infected circus of lies that the O.J. trial was, because everybody plays to the camera, obviously.
You remember the t-shirt vendors, juice the juice?
Don't squeeze the juice!
Don't squeeze, they're like both sides of it.
All I remember is dudes standing on the side of the road during the Bronco chase with like hastily constructed signs saying, don't squeeze O.J., you know? And it's like, that's... I mean, they must have just dashed to, like, a Michael's craft store, like, immediately. And I need some pink poster board and a Sharpie. You know, and then right out by the road, you know? And then the Bronco chase there, where it ended up in Brentwood sitting in his driveway. And I remember sitting there watching the television for hours on end, waiting for him to get out of the Bronco. And, of course, it never happened. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
And the other thing is, if you lived in L.A., it was on every TV station every day.
Yeah,
months.
Well, I mean, it was that way even if you weren't. I was in Spokane for the first part of it. I was in Spokane during the Bronco chase. And then I was in Salt Lake during the trial. And it was, I mean, and we had a sister station, KAPN, that was all news. And we ran raw, uncut O.J. coverage all day, every day, for whatever, like 9 months or something, a year almost, whatever it was. You know, some guy had to sit in there all day long and just listen to the... And it was just so miserably dull for most of it, because it was that guy... Who's that guy, Fung or Kong or Wang or Ding or whatever that guy... It's the doctor's name. You know, that Asian doctor that was all... And if you look at the DNA substrand, characteristic 45, you'll see that there's a 7-point match. And it was just like this DNA stuff that just ground on and on forever, so... but there is this really cynical, just entertainment-hungry part of me that wants the O.J., that wants the Michael Jackson thing to be on pay-per-view. I'm telling you, man, Schwarzenegger ought to be listening right now. That's how you get that city of yours out of debt. You know what I mean? You want to get California out of debt? Yeah, you put that action on pay-per-view. I'd pay for it. You don't even have to do the whole thing. Just do highlights every day, you know?
You make money off the rest of the nation to cover your state debt.
No one listens to me. All right, it's 503-250 tonight in Portland. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon is the traffic. Yeah.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Listen to that. Boy, that song's like 15 years old. Not enough violin in today's punk. All right. We got more on the way, including Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian, is going to be here. This, however, is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, listen to this. Paris Hilton has been named the fashion disaster of 2003. Mr. Blackwell.
Boy, I'd like to cut that guy's head off and
nobody
put it on a
Mr.
stick.
Nobody likes Blackwell. He comes out once a year and that's about it.
You know, the guy's got to be 140 by now, and he looks like a waxy Madame Tussauds version of himself. He just looks like he's had his insides taken out and stuffed full of sawdust.
Wonder what he does the rest of the year.
I have no idea.
Well, he has poked fun at the socialite in his annual survey of fashion calamities. Madonna and Britney Spears were tied for second place, followed by Shania Twain, Diane Keaton, Jessica Simpson, Celine Dion, Missy Elliott, Melanie Griffith, Courtney Love, and Laura Flynn Boyle.
He's only got that one look anyway, though. He's just got that tuxedo. Oh, my God, though. Have you seen that picture of Laura Flynn Boyle in the front of, what is it, the Star? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
there's
no.
Cheryl, though. She's a big tabloid reader. There's this whole, I think it's the Star magazine. They've got this big picture of Laura Flynn Boyle right next to a picture of Renee Zellweger. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's because Renee Zellweger, you know, she put that weight back on for Bridget Jones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but not for herself.
Yeah, but yeah. Then for Bridget Jones, too. And there's a picture of her right next to Laura Flynn Boyle, and they're talking about how, you know, sort of the you know, the more full-figured woman is apparently in vogue in Hollywood and whatnot. But this picture of Laura Flynn Boyle, it's unreal how skinny she is.
Have you not seen her in the past year?
No, I mean, I know that she's really, really skinny.
Oh, no,
but this picture
grotesque.
Of her, she's in like this tiny bikini too, you know, and it's like marbles in a sock or something. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, it's just, you know.
She just has a fast metabolism.
Yeah, sure. I eat like a pig all the time. I just can't gain any weight, which is always code for. That's what that's code for. When someone says, I don't know what it is, I mean, I don't exercise or work out at all, I just, all it is. It's a code phrase for my girlfriend holds my hair while I chuck my eggs into the toilet every morning. That's what that means.
Well, on the positive side, Mr. Blackwell praises Nicole Kidman, Salma Hayek, Oprah Winfrey, Katie Holmes, Beyonce, Sarah Jessica Parker, and the Countess of Wessex as fabulous fashion independents of 2003.
Yeah. Salma Hayek, you could roll Salma Hayek in mud and spiders and she would still look good. It doesn't matter, man. That's a girl that can't look.
I would volunteer for that position.
There's no way that girl can look anything but fine.
Michael Moore expresses his admiration for Wesley Clark.
I just happen to think Clark is the best among them, best on the issues, best for the working people of this country, best to end this war, and the best to communicate this message to where I come from, in middle America.
You know, that's the great thing about 2004 is not only do we have Jackson and, you know, the 700 other celebrity trials, but then we got the election coming up, man. This is going to be the greatest, most tumultuous year in American history. It's going to make 68 look like a cakewalk. This year is just going to be fantabulous.
Michael Moore, would you support Mr. Lieberman if he got the nomination?
It would take a lot of medication, Wolf.
What do you have against Joe Lieberman?
Well, he's running in the wrong party. Lieberman is kind of like a liberal to moderate Republican. He's Bush light.
And he's also, Lieberman is also the one who's pushed repeatedly to have rating systems put on the music and video games to try to get he tried to get Quake and Doom pulled off the market for the longest time. Lieberman, that guy can pound it.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. Dateline NBC. The possibility of swapping faces with somebody else. Totally outrageous behavior is out at the same time on Fox. I don't know what that is. A pet star, a dog flips, a ferret climbs into drawers, and the dog counts. HBO Hollywood Story, actress Demi Moore. On Emerald Live, it's garlic and cheese fondue.
Okay, attention,
Michael,
Matt Peterson.
The Michael Jackson interview features footage you've never seen.
On what? What channel?
This is on VH1.
Oh, man, I went up. Can I just tell you this last night, though? I went home and I turned on the sci-fi channel, and they were doing that part of that when things attack, the marathon. They had the Octopus 2.
Oh,
but I missed whatever it was with Lorenzo Lamas, the bioengineered shark movie. I totally missed that.
The Dark Waters.
Dark Waters. Bioengineered sharks attack off the coast of something or other. So hopefully they'll be rebrought. The great thing about the Sci-Fi Channel is, it's like most of their audience is just composed of obese shut-ins, and so it's like they play those things over and over again because, you know, it's like, you know, they know that you're in the basement, you know, like having like a +3 sword of Damocles fighting against the dragon or something. So they know that you may miss part of that. So anyway, so hopefully they'll be rerunning that.
Attention, Mitzi Shore, your son Polly is in the Army now tonight on STARS.
You know, and Polly Shore, here's the weird thing about Polly Shore is that just it's like clockwork, you know, that about every 2.5 years they give that guy another movie to make. That's the thing about it all just being a big genetic lottery, you know what I mean? You're born to a woman who runs the comedy store, you're guaranteed like a development deal and a 5-picture contract, you know, just because you came out of that woman's uterus. Wait, do you come out of the uterus? No, the uterus is a thing. No, that's the womb. Are the womb and the uterus the same thing?
Who cares?
You can tell
none
I went to a lot of
person.
High school.
Come
that's
on.
Just going to say it doesn't. Not that it has any. Not that it, you know, has any relevance for any of us. Anyway, boy, talking about Pauly Shore though. You know, they've been running Encino Man like all month on the STARS. I think to capitalize on that Sean Astin popularity and Return of the King. I've gotten like 4 different emails. Dude, did you remember that Sean Astin was in Encino Man? So that's a classic film.
Well, Ben Stiller plays a risk analyst whose life will never be the same when he starts dating an eccentric salsa dancer, Jennifer Aniston, and along came Polly. Ben talks about how aware Ruben is about the risks of the world. That's his character.
Because of his, because of what he does, he's very aware of what the implications are of all the risks that people take in their lives, which is kind of true for people who work in the risk assessment field.
Ben, is it more important to trust the director in a movie like this more than the drama?
You always have to trust the director, especially in a comedy, because they're sort of in charge of how it's going to be cut together and the tone of the whole thing. And John is Hamburg's a great guy because he will tell you that you to trust him and it's going to be great. And then basically he's lying to you because you see the movie and then he adds all sorts of things in, sound effects that weren't there when you were doing in certain scenes. Tells you, oh yeah, you know, do that scene where you know at the end of the movie where you're naked, it'll be great.
You know, Ben Stiller's one of those guys that I know people go to see him, and he's much beloved by the American film going public, but kind of just a-hole vibes just come off of that guy, like, just in waves. You know what I mean? You can just sense that guy's... And he's married to somebody hot, right? He's not married to Tay Leone. That's David Duchovny. He's married to somebody who's... Who's that chick from Zoolander? Isn't that who he's married to?
Yeah, I think the girl who played Marsha.
Yeah, it's,
I
was
going
to say Maureen McCormick, but it's not Maureen McCormick.
He's married to Maureen McCormick.
It's the one that played her later, whoever
he's married to a 90-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a Colombian town has persuaded local prostitutes to wear longer skirts. Officials in Los Matiras came up with the idea after a meeting with prostitutes, representatives, residents, police, and bar owners. A meeting discussed how everyone in an area designated tolerance zone could live together more harmoniously. The prostitutes agreed to dress more decently on the streets. If they do not, they can be issued a summons, and they'll have to attend a talk on why their behavior is unacceptable.
How great that they have there's a place where they have fashion guidelines for hookers. See, that's the kind of community I want to live in. Where I live, it's just those bad spandex skirts. You know what I mean? It's just never mind.
Well, let's see here. A man tried to rob a Spokane bank, but was spoiled when he was jumped by customers and held until police arrived. The spokesman police say Dick Cottam was taken to the hospital, where he was treated for a bloody nose and other injuries.
Wait, his last name was Cottam?
Cottam.
It sort of seemed inevitable that he wouldn't get away with it.
Cottam.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was at a bank branch, and the customer heard the man demand money from a teller, who wrestled him to the ground. Another customer wrestled a gun away from the man and kicked it across the floor. Customers held the man down until police arrived a short time later.
You know, I do this thing whenever I'm in banks where I... Not that I advocate crime, because of course robbing a bank is a thing you shouldn't do. And it's like, doesn't robbing a bank seem like one of those crimes that we should just be like, you should be moved on to something else at this point? Because it's, when's the last time a guy robbed a bank and really got away with it? The answer is never. You're screwed at this point. They've kind of thought it all out. Robbing, it's like in Pulp Fiction, you know, where Tim Roth is going on about robbing. If you want to rob something, well, first of all, don't. But I'm saying, you know what? Nobody does robberies in theaters. If I was going to become a criminal, that's the first place I'd start robbing. I'd start robbing people in movie theaters. I mean, I'm not advocating that sort of behavior. You should pull yourself up by your bootstraps in this bustling economy and get a job. I'm just saying that a bank, I mean, why would you pick the, I mean, I know it's where all the money is, but why would you pick the place that is, that, you know, where they're going to be looking for robbers and where they've got, like, I'll stand in line Right, I'll be at Washington Mutual, just standing in line there, you know, waiting to cash a check or, you know, whatever it is. And I always find myself looking around, thinking, you know, just thinking like, well, if you were to rob this place, how would you do it? And you always come to the conclusion that you shouldn't, because there's like 900 cameras. There's always some guy with a gun. You know, the tellers are always behind that like 5-inch thick, you know, plexiglass or whatever. So it just it seems like a very 1970s sort of crime.
How could you rob somebody in a movie theater? I mean, you have to say, excuse me, pardon me, and crawl over people and then rob the person of your choice.
Well, I'm
and
just
excuse yourself on the way out.
Well, I'm just saying it's one of those places where they wouldn't see it coming. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and most of them don't accept credit cards. So
yeah,
that cash.
That's what I'm saying. You got to use cash. They got to take like $50 if they want to get Twizzlers or whatever. So it's like they would totally not see that coming. I'm not. Don't hold me. I'm just, if you get robbed in a movie theater, it's not my fault. I don't want to hear any, you know, I don't want to hear any lawsuits or anything about
the
that.
The views expressed by Rick Emerson are
I'm not
that
telling people to become. I'm not telling people to become armed robbers. I'm just speculating about the future direction of American crime. We got more on the way, including Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian, and your phone call. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Today, KOTK. We'll be back.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. This news brought to you by BMW. Visit Portland's premier BMW store, Rasmussen BMW, at Southwest 20th and Jefferson, and on the web at RasmussenBMW.com. An investigation into the death of a Chumawa Indian school student has revealed the 16-year-old died of acute alcohol poisoning. The results released by the FBI show the student had no other intoxicants in her system. Cindy Gilbert, so happy, was in a holding cell at the school when she died. The Reverend Roy Tate has been found guilty of conduct unbecoming to a minister by a council of church elders, but he will not be charged with the crime. The trial found Tate had sex with troubled women he preached to. Our Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Well, what do you know? I see a little sun out there, but it's supposed to be cloudy. Well, what are you going to do? Highs in the 40s. Tonight, rain coming in, showers for the weekend. Here, Riley, KOTK News.